Greetings, listeners. My name's Andrew Fullerton, and with me is Nick Dean. In this podcast produced by IPAN, the Independent and Peaceful Australia Network, we discuss a recent ABC Four Corners program dealing with the failure of the ALP government to sign and ratify the Treaty for Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, the TPNW, and we show that the US-Australia military alliance and its manifestations are the obstacle to the signing of this treaty, and indeed to Australia becoming a truly independent and peaceful nation.
The Four Corners Trading Fire program, broadcast on November the 3rd, highlighted the failure of the Albanese government to sign and ratify the Treaty for the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, the TPNW. The programme showed Anthony Albanese moving the motion at an ALP national conference on the understanding that if elected, an ALP government would sign and ratify the treaty. And that motion was seconded by Richard Marles, now the Minister for Defence.
The same motion to sign the TPNW has been passed at successive ALP national conferences, but the ALP government, elected on May 21, 2022, did not sign the treaty in its first term of government. Now in its second term, the Albanese government has still not signed the treaty and shows no intention of doing so, even though it has a sizeable parliamentary majority.
Deputy Prime Minister and Minister for Defence, Richard Marles, was questioned on Four Corners as to why the government had not signed the TPNW. He had no answer beyond the unprincipled and lame excuse that it's different when you're in government, and he gave no indication that the government will ever sign the treaty. The government steadfastly maintains its position despite the polls showing that an overwhelming majority of Australians want the treaty signed as a step towards preventing nuclear war. ICAN, the International Campaign Against Nuclear Weapons, has documented these poll results.
It's not hard to deduce the true reason for the ALP government's reluctance to sign the treaty. Simply put, the treaty would require the government to end US military access to those installations in Australia which are connected to US nuclear war fighting capabilities, an action which would greatly limit and most likely terminate the US-Australia military alliance.
And the ALP government and the Liberal National Opposition are enthusiastically committed to maintaining and extending this alliance.
The treaty requires that states signing and ratifying it must not support in any way the nuclear war-fighting operations of any nuclear power, which in Australia's case means the US and the UK. Australia is currently hosting, or is about to host, at least four installations which assist US nuclear war-fighting capability.
First, there's Pine Gap, which provides, via the Relay Ground Station in Central Australia, vital real-time satellite surveillance data to the US nuclear war room in Nevada. If Australia signed and ratified the TPNW, it would have to deny the US access to that facility at Pine Gap.
Second is the Naval Communications Station Harold E. Holt at Northwest Cape near Exmouth in WA. This facility enables the US to communicate with nuclear-armed hunter-killer submarines submerged at depth and can thus send them the trigger signal to launch their nuclear missiles. Signing and ratifying the TPNW would require ending the US access to this facility.
Third are the porting and maintenance facilities currently under construction at HMAS Stirling in WA, at a cost to the Australian taxpayer of $8 billion. These facilities are for servicing and maintenance of US and UK nuclear hunter-killer submarines. The US refused to confirm or deny whether their nuclear submarines will be carrying nuclear weapons, and that's a position which our government says it understands.
Clearly, if an Australian government signed and ratified the TPNW, it would have to halt this construction program and refuse porting and maintenance facilities to US nuclear submarines in order to comply with the treaty.
Fourthly, there's the massive enlargement and upgrading of RAAF Tyndall near Katherine in the NT to accommodate up to six US B-52 bombers, some of which will be nuclear capable. Again, the US says it will neither confirm nor deny that these aircraft are carrying nuclear weapons, and again, the government says it understands. Signing and ratifying the TPNW would again require the government to deny US bombers access to RAAF Tyndall.
All four of these military facilities have been established under the umbrella of the US-Australia Military Alliance. The facilities at HMAS Stirling are being established under AUKUS, a component of this alliance, and the facilities at RAAF Tyndall are under the US-Australia Force Posture Agreement, the FPA, also an alliance component.
Australians want the government to sign and ratify the TPNW to reduce the risk of nuclear war. It's crucial that we now recognise that the US alliance and the military facilities established under its umbrella is the major obstacle to signing the treaty. Ending the US-Australia military alliance would be a major step towards a more peaceful world.
The Independent and Peaceful Australia Network is campaigning for the cancellation of AUKUS and termination of the Force Posture Agreement as steps towards ending the US-Australia military alliance. More information can be found at IPAN's website, which is ipan.org.au/public call to the Australian government/.
In addition to identifying the alliance as an obstacle to signing the TPNW, IPAN recognises that these military installations will unavoidably involve Australia in a US-led war on China and render us liable to retaliatory strikes from China or another of the US's numerous enemies.
The Australian people are being subjected to a relentless propaganda campaign casting China as a threat. Minister Miles talks in general terms of Australia, quote, facing a major change in strategic circumstances and of China's massive military build-up. But when pressed to be more specific, he talks about an alleged Chinese threat to shipping lanes in the South China Sea and the need for so-called freedom of navigation exercises to keep the shipping lanes open. In saying this, he exposes the shallowness of the anti-China rhetoric. China has never threatened to close shipping lanes in the South China Sea or anywhere else, for the very good reason that it needs them open and free to allow its extensive maritime trade with the world, including Australia.
The real purpose of the so-called freedom of navigation exercises, instigated by the US and obediently followed by Australia, is to gather intelligence about China's defence capabilities. For example, Australian and US aircraft and naval vessels drop sonar buoys in waters near China to collect the sound signatures of Chinese submarines so that they can be identified, detected and destroyed in a war situation. It should come as no surprise that the Chinese PLA fires warning flares at Australian aircraft engaging in such surveillance activities.
Professor Clinton Fernandez, in his new book, Turbulence, Australian Foreign Policy in the Trump Era, states that, quote, each ship or submarine has an acoustic signature akin to a sonic fingerprint, which is used for identification purposes. Analysts compare the signal collected by the sonar boys with previously recorded signatures. Australia and the United States airdrop sonar boys by the thousands and help prepare the battle space by acquiring technical intelligence that enables anti-submarine forces to attack enemy submarines at the start of hostilities, if ordered.
Well, this is no secret to the Chinese military, but it is largely concealed from the Australian public, who are told that the activities merely constitute freedom of navigation, a benign and reasonable sounding term. The silence over what freedom of navigation really involves protects the government from democratic accountability and from debate as to how Australia's intelligence agencies and military should be used.
IPAN has called for the immediate cessation of these so-called freedom of navigation and surveillance exercises carried out by the Australian Navy and the RAAF, and for the recall of all Australian military personnel so that they can carry out their legitimate responsibility, the defence of Australian territory. Their activity in the South China Sea and associated waters carries the risk of an accident or miscalculation that could escalate into unintended hostilities or worse.
Ending the US alliance would make Australia much safer and keep us out of needless wars. It would enable Australia to pursue peaceful relations with all countries in our region as a truly independent country. This doesn't mean we don't need a military force, but as an independent country, free of the US alliance, its operations can be directed at true self-defence of our territory, instead of engaging in disastrous overseas wars instigated by the US.
In his 2014 book, Dangerous Allies, the late former Prime Minister Malcolm Fraser states that, quote, I believe our relationship with the United States has become a paradox. Our leaders argue we need to keep our alliance with the United States strong in order to ensure our defence in the event of an aggressive foe. Yet the most likely reason Australia would need to confront an aggressive foe is our strong alliance with the United States. We need America for defence from an attacker who is likely to attack us because we use America for defence. It is not a sustainable policy. End of quote.
That brings us to the end of this podcast. As always, we welcome your comments and suggestions, which can be emailed to ipan.australia@gmail.com. I'll say it again, all lowercase, ipan.australia@gmail.com. Goodbye, and thank you for listening.